psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
If a father wants to get into his daughter's world, he has to listen to her.
This is, in my view, a battle where everything is up for grabs, including the very existence of this nation.
And I'll see this horse that all of a sudden looks over and says, oh, there's my kid, there's my kid.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Religious freedom, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble. They're all written into the Constitution, Dad, and we kind of take for granted that we have those rights, and we always will. But as we'll hear today, and as we heard yesterday, it's not quite as cut and dried as that, is it?
You know, Ryan, we've now been doing this program for a couple of months, nearly 3 months. And I thought yesterday's program was one of the best that we've done.
Me too. I was totally blown away.
And that is not because we're congratulating ourselves, but because of Chuck Colson and Professor Robbie George, mm-hmm. who are our guests. And I'll tell you, every time we have them on, they say things that make me think for days. And we're going to hear the other half of that conversation, which was recorded at the end of the program last time.
If people missed that one, seriously, go to our website, myfamilytalk.com. Yesterday is a don't-miss broadcast.
Oh. Well, they were talking about religious freedom and our concerns about what's happening in this country. Every day, it seems, we're receiving new word about court cases or legislation that's slowly chipping away at our most fundamental rights. As we heard last time, the freedom of religion is particularly in jeopardy, as revealed by recent statements made by President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, where they purposefully referred to freedom to worship instead of freedom of religion. And there is an enormous difference between those two phrases. And it's vitally important to the future of the nation that our listeners understand that distinction. Freedom of worship refers to a private enterprise. You know, how nice of the president and Mrs. Clinton to give us the rights to think what we want. But freedom of religion is protected by the Constitution, and it gives us the right to practice our beliefs and advocate for them in the public square. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between them, and it's a difference with enormous implications.
You just can't overstate the importance of what you just said, Dad. I found what our guests had to say absolutely fascinating. They're both so brilliant and encouraging. You know, a lot of times you talk about this stuff and it kind of gets a little bit doom and gloom or the sky is falling, but they're encouraging, they're hopeful for the future, and they want us to get involved.
Well, our country and our freedoms do hang in the balance, Ryan, and I feel a personal responsibility to share what we talked about yesterday and other things that I'm reading about what's taking place in our culture with our listeners. Our guests last time are very, very busy men. Chuck Colson is the founder of Prison Fellowship Ministries and the author of a number of outstanding books. Most of them have been bestsellers, focusing on the tenets of the Christian faith and how Christians should engage the culture. Highly relevant to what we were talking about last time. Professor Robert George is the McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence at Princeton University, and he lectures mostly on constitutional law and the philosophy of law. Now, we're going to jump right into the conversation with you, Ryan, as you got to the heart of the issue. You mentioned the hesitancy that some Christians have about involving themselves in cultural issues and politics. You know, it's almost an insult to political correctness to even participate in this great representative form of government. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand that. And as our friends listen to what was recorded last time, I hope it becomes clear that absolutely must occur at this time in American history. Let's roll.
I was meeting with a person yesterday who's a strong believer who is in the abolition movement to end slavery, and he said, you know, we really don't care about politics. We don't really care how people vote. And he went on and on and on, and I thought, okay, the only thing that you're, that matters more than anything you can possibly believe. Of course, you're working to end slavery. Politics matters in that. Our whole Christian heritage was involved in this. And the young people have heard this language so often, so many times, in so many different forms, that you're right, they have been led down that path.
Well, we're intimidated against speaking out on issues because we think we're being called bigots, and people say we're trying to impose our views on others. What everybody forgets, conveniently, is that we didn't start this culture war. People were living their lives, life was being respected, marriage was being respected. And all of a sudden, this juggernaut starts moving. And we waked up and realized it was taking away fundamental liberties that we've, in protections that we have enjoyed as a nation from our founding. So we're simply reacting, saying, wait a minute, what are you doing here? But we're not imposing our will on anybody. They're imposing their values on us. That's exactly what is happening.
You know, just in the last week, I've become aware of something that I should have known before because it's out there and it's been in the historical literature for a couple of hundred years. But it goes back to the Revolutionary War, and it's called the Black Robe Brigade.
Yeah, the preachers, that's right.
Yeah, about 1776, pastors and the clergy became alarmed over this same issue because they were losing their religious freedoms,
right,
the freedoms to preach and speak from the pulpit. And so they stripped off their black robes, and they took up their muskets, and they followed George Washington into the war. You know, the implication here is that we're calling for another Revolutionary War, and we're not, but we are saying that the American people had better be prepared to defend their liberties, or they surely will lose them.
And Jim, we can defend them at the ballot box. That's what this comes down to. Ryan is absolutely right. We need to go into the political sphere and work at the ballot box to make sure that people are elected who will honor religious liberty, defend religious liberty, honor the sanctity of life, honor the dignity of marriage. Marriage is the conjugal union of husband and wife. The equivalent of muskets today for us are ballots.
Yeah. Chuck, I don't want to make you say publicly what I know you think. But I'm going to do it anyway. You are very, very concerned that the pastors don't seem to understand the challenge and the threat to their religious liberty.
Oh, Jim, absolutely. I would like to get up on the rooftops and shout, wake up, church, wake up. Don't you realize what's happening? You used a perfect example out of the Revolutionary War. There wouldn't have been a revolution if all of the pastors, particularly in New England, who were loyalists largely, read Romans 13 as many of them were reading it, but they realized that they had gotten to a point where their fundamental liberties and freedoms were jeopardized, and therefore they supported a revolution, even though it was contrary to what many of them had read into the scriptures. It was contrary to their ideas as conservatives. It was contrary to their loyalist feelings and attitudes towards the crown. But they did it because they wanted to protect their freedoms. And one thing I hope every American is hearing who's listening to this, this isn't just a Christian issue, folks. If religious liberty goes, so does freedom of association, so does freedom of speech, so soon will go freedom at the ballot box, and we're going to watch our country lose its basic human liberties. And our freedom of religion, we as Americans fight for the freedom of religion of all people, not just Christians.
Tell me where the Black Robe Brigade is today.
Well, there are some great leaders. I mean, some pastors. I don't know what we would have done in California, where we won a great victory for marriage on Proposition 8. I don't know what we would have done without Pastor Jim Garlow, evangelical pastor.
He's a hero to me.
And the African American church, ironically, tipped the vote in California our way. And won't it be a supreme irony if 10 years from now we see that movement through the black churches to protect human rights, where they are the most sensitive of all, did as much as anything to protect our human liberties.
Yeah. There is a quote that Ryan just handed to me that's outstanding. It's from Thomas Jefferson, and he said, "Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God." I'm not sure that many of our religious brothers and sisters agree with that, but I certainly do.
Well, around the world they do, because that's what happened. That's what brought down the Iron Curtain, was the faithful church, which remained faithful in the Soviet Union and in Eastern Europe, and the church today in China, which is the great hope, the Christian church, which is resisting the state.
Let's go back to the Manhattan Declaration. Both of you gentlemen not only had a role in it, but essentially wrote it, and along with a few others, made it possible. Chuck, you are pleased, I know, with the fact that there are more than 400,000 people who have signed this declaration. But given the fact that we're a nation of 300 million people, that seems embarrassingly modest to me. There ought to be millions who sign it. How can we promote it now? Is it just going to be forgotten, or is it continuing to gather support?
It's continuing to gather support, Jim. Not as fast as I would like it, but I think there's a Jim Garlow you were referring to has got a fasting and prayer campaign starting for this fall. I think that's going to give a lot of stimulus to it. The more we can talk about it, and the more people recognize why it is so important and timely, it is a document that actually the three of us who wrote it, primarily written by Robbie George and Dr. Timothy George at Beeson Divinity School, I kind of held their coats while they wrote. It actually is aimed at the very question we're dealing with here today. But it's time for the church to speak out. I don't want to be too harsh on the church. The church does some wonderful things in this country. But I'm getting a lot of serious evangelical leaders today. For the first time in the last 30 years, they're saying, that I, in my memory, they're saying, well, we really ought to lay off. We take a prominent author has written a book saying we should take a vacation from politics or a sabbatical from politics. Please, no, let's be engaged in every area of life, bringing Christian truth to bear in everything, and protecting our liberties. We're doing it not just for ourselves, but for the good of the country. Everybody listening has a stake in this.
Absolutely. I'm a signatory to it, and believe in it, and do hope that many thousands of people who are listening to us today will take that moment to sign the declaration. Tell us how they can do that.
Sure. If they've got a pencil and a piece of paper, they can write down the web address. It is simply www.manhattandeclaration.org, O-R-G. And if they go on, Jim, they'll be able to join many, many wonderful religious leaders who have spoken out in defense of the three foundational issues that are addressed in the Manhattan Declaration: the sanctity of human life in all stages and conditions, the dignity of marriage as the conjugal union of husband and wife, and the rights of religious freedom and conscience.
All right. What we are suggesting to our people, I guess the main weapons that we have with which to defend what we believe, are prayer, first and foremost, but then also to vote, to make sure everybody's registered, to urge our fellow believers, those who are concerned about what's happening in the country, to vote this fall. That is the mechanism that's been given to us. That is a freedom that we must not ignore. And yet 26% of evangelicals in the last election, general election, did not vote. That just takes my breath away. And then, of course, to defend what we believe through these documents, including and primarily the Manhattan Declaration. Are there other things?
Well, one thing, Jim, they can do is not just sign the Manhattan Declaration, but distribute it to all their friends, take it to their pastor, ask their pastor to preach on it. We have a study guide that they can download on the website, which is a really great study guide, because that 4,700-word document is one of the finest worldview propositions or statements that I've ever seen. It's extremely well written. The only way we'll multiply this and get to a million, which I want to see it before this year is out, the only way that'll happen is if you get your friends to sign on. Just don't just listen and say, well, I've signed it, I've done my part. No, you haven't. You got to keep promoting it. And this latest thing, this latest website posting that I did, the two-minute warning, that is the kind of thing to be circulated. Because once people don't leave this broadcast, don't turn your radio off, don't go away until you explain to somebody else today the difference between worship and religion, and then somebody else tomorrow, and then in your church, get that discussed, because this is what I see as the sneak attack, redefining the words, and you then control people's ideas and values.
Jim, we've got a very important election coming up this November. All of the issues we care about will either be significantly advanced or significantly set back by what happens in November. That's just the reality. Whether we're talking about abortion and the sanctity of human life, protecting marriage, or protecting religious freedom and the rights of conscience. So people need to be engaged and involved. They need to be registered to vote. If they're not registered to vote, my goodness, get out there and register right away. They need to appear at candidate forums. They need to ask those who are seeking their votes, those who would represent them in public office, are you going to stand for the sanctity of human life? Are you going to stand for the dignity of marriage? Are you going to oppose this administration's attempt to advance the gay agenda in foreign policy and to reduce freedom of religion to freedom of worship? Hold the politicians' feet to the fire. This is a great opportunity. There's a wave in the country. Everybody's feeling it. There's a wave in the country in a more conservative direction. Now is the time to make a difference. People need to be part of history.
Robbie, and I'm going to ask you, Chuck, the same question in a minute. What will this country look like in 5 years if we remain asleep, if we refuse to defend religious liberty?
It's simple. Our rights will be severely constricted. We will be looking back to an earlier time when Americans truly enjoyed the robust right to religious freedom and not merely the right to private worship and prayer. We'll be looking back to a day when people had the right to honor their own consciences by not participating in activities they thought were immoral and wouldn't put their own jobs and careers in jeopardy if they, say, refused to participate in taking innocent human life by abortion or in other evil practices. We'll look back to those days as if they were golden years. But Jim, I believe in the American people. I really believe in America, and I believe that our Christian and Jewish and other friends and brothers and sisters are going to step forward. I have a very positive attitude. I know a lot of people don't, but I think that this message is getting out. People are beginning to understand, and they're rallying to the cause. And in November, I think we're going to see a real difference being made.
Ryan, your great passion is the next generation.
It is.
Younger people who have been propagandized. Mm-hmm. They have been twisted and warped, many of them, in what they've heard in school and what they've heard in the culture at large. Is there a chance of our getting through to those who are 20 and 25 and 30?
There is. I speak at Summit Ministries all summer long, Dr. David Noble's camp, and those kids are on fire. I think it comes through revival. I think it comes through the Holy Spirit. It comes from knowing the Word. It comes from believing in Jesus Christ and pouring yourself into that. That's where all of my social action comes from. That's where my civic mindedness comes from, because I am compelled by Christ to be involved.
And you see hope there.
I do. I do see hope. If I didn't, I'd be moving to New Zealand.
No better there, Ryan, let me assure you.
Just it's, no better, it's no
but
better
at least
anywhere
it's not
else.
Your country, I guess.
Yeah.
Just don't take that grandkid with you. Okay. Chuck, can you answer the same question?
Well, I'm a generation different from Robbie, a generation older. And so perhaps I see things in more apocalyptic terms. I'm really worried about this country surviving, and I'm worried about it because I think we're staring at the abyss in terms of spending money recklessly and incurring debt. Unless this country gets hold of itself and is willing to start living by its means and start behaving responsibly and getting off this kick of personal autonomy and realizing that as Americans and citizens, we're all in this thing together, we've got to work for the common good, we've got to work for justice and righteousness. And I'm with Robbie. I think the American people are going to wake up in time, but then we'll look back in 5 years and say, thank God we waked up.
And there's not much time left, really.
There's very little time.
We probably don't have 5 years.
No, I don't think we do unless we change.
And as America goes, so goes the world.
Well, so goes the free world, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's certainly right,
so
Jim.
Goes freedom.
I think at the end
of
the day, it's very important to remind ourselves and to remind your listeners that this is really all about love. Not love considered as just some emotional reaction, but love considered as genuinely, actively willing the good of other people. and willing their good for the sake of their good, because we understand them as a precious child of God made in his own image and likeness. The sexual revolution has been a disaster. It's carnage is there for everyone to see. Broken relationships, ruined lives. It's not love to advance the gay agenda. It's not love to advance a culture of promiscuity. Same with abortion. Abortion is not love. Taking the life of an innocent child is not love. We stand for the child because we believe in love. We believe in human dignity. We stand for marriage and sexual morality because we believe in the dignity of the human person, and we know how the sexual revolution has damaged people, ruined their relationships, wounded their lives. And we stand for religious freedom because it's at the foundation of the dignity of the human being as a creature made in the image and likeness of God, a God who is, as we Christians understand, of love.
Well, our time is gone, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate Professor Robbie George and Mr. Chuck Colson joining us, along with Ryan and me, here today to talk about what may be the most important subject we will deal with this year or for many years, mm-hmm. because everything we care about is on the line. And we need to provide more information, Ryan. The 40-day fast that Jim Garlow and others are calling for is going to be explained on our website.
That's right. We've got the Manhattan Declaration to sign and download at myfamilytalk.com. The 40 days of fasting and a lot of other things that we talked about today will all be on our website for our listeners to come and download, and we'd really like them to come there, and it's myfamilytalk.com.
For the two of you on the phone, is there any last thing you want to say to our constituency?
No, I think, Jim, you've said it beautifully, and I really appreciate you taking the lead on this, as you have so often. I think it is not, we're not talking about politics and partisan division. We're talking about working for justice and righteousness in the name of God's love. That's exactly what. Beautiful wrap-up by Robbie.
Jim, it's high time that we Christians, joined with others who are willing to join with us, show the world what the real audacity of hope is, the willingness to hope for a world that really is made better because we respect the dignity of the human being, and that's what we're fighting for.
Well, we were talking about hope a minute ago. Part of my hope is rooted in what the Lord is doing with each of you, and I appreciate your courage and so much of what you've done in recent years. And please stay in touch with us. We want to stand with you, and we want to do what we can to awaken those who don't yet understand the gravity of the situation. I love you both, and we will be in touch.
God bless you, Jim.
Thank you.
And again, the starting point for all the info you'll need to protect your religious freedom is at myfamilytalk.com, including information on how to register to vote. Myfamilytalk.com, or you can call us 877-732-6825.
And Ryan, before we go, I would just like to reiterate the personal responsibility that I feel to the issue that we've been dealing with in the last 2 days. And it's a pleasure and a privilege to have a chance to grapple with these great moral issues of our time. You know, I want to use these years of my life to make a difference, not only in family life, but also in the culture. Mm-hmm. And that's why I didn't retire when I left Focus on the Family. It's because I felt the Lord putting his hand in my back and saying, I'm not through with you. And I think what we've done in these last 2 days is an expression of why. I feel a sense of mission. I feel a sense of passion to defend these things that we believe, because your son, my grandson, Ryan, is going to grow up in a world very different than the world in which you were born, and
right.
certainly different than the world in which I was born. And I want to say to our listeners out there, if you would like to stand with us and help us do this, we need your participation. We want to know what you think. We want your feedback. And if there are ways that you can assist us in carrying and fulfilling this mission, we would certainly appreciate it. Most of all, please pray for us, because this is not casual stuff that we're involved in here. Mm-hmm. We could be doing something else, and I can tell you I certainly could. There is a reason that we are going to address these issues and the other things related to parenting and marriage, and thank God for the opportunity to do it.
Absolutely. Well, I am honored to be with you and proud to stand by your side in this fight and in this mission. And if the listeners out there want to partner with us, we would love it. And you can go to myfamilytalk.com for information on that. And you can also call us at 877-732-6825. And also plan to be with us next time when we'll talk to two young women who are making a vital impact in the lives of Romanian orphans. You won't want to miss it.